This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. There are primaries on both sides of the aisle this month for Kentucky's 4th Congressional District. That district includes all of Northern Kentucky. Today, we speak with the two Republicans and two Democrats hoping to win the seat, and we start with incumbent Republican Congressman Thomas Massey. He's looking to win his 5th two-year term, and we spoke last week. And joining us now is Congressman Thomas Massey, a Republican incumbent representing Kentucky's 4th Congressional District. On June 23rd, he faces Todd McMurtry in the GOP primary. Congressman Massey, welcome to our program.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Michael.
It's our pleasure to have you on. Thanks for taking some time to chat with us. I want to start by talking about recent events, the civil unrest, the protests against police violence. And I just want to ask an open-ended question. What are your thoughts about what you're seeing in Kentucky and Louisville, what we're seeing in Cincinnati, what's happening in Minneapolis and across the country?
Well, I think it's important to differentiate between a protest and violence. I support peaceful protest. I support the First Amendment, the right to assemble, but I can't support the type of violence that's gone on. I wish we could go back to the days of Martin Luther King Jr., when you had a leader who could speak. I haven't seen somebody rise to the occasion in this movement. And I think even with movements on the right as well as on the left, you always have some a minority of people within that movement who kind of go over the edge and ruin it for the message that's being sent.
Well, let me ask you, you don't support the violence that we are seeing, and we are seeing some destruction and some looting taking place in the cities where these protests are erupting. What about your position on what some perceive as violence from police, both in these protests and in the actions that inspired them?
Yeah, I may cut a different swath here from other Republicans, but I don't think we should militarize our police force. I don't think that we should turn our military into a police force. And I hope the president resists the calls to bring the military and get them involved. Because what sort of sparked all this was excessive use of force by the police. And I don't think the answer is to bring in a group of people, i.e. our military, who are wonderfully trained at killing the enemy and ask them to be policemen. I don't think it's good for our republic if we do that.
You're a sitting member of Congress. You have some sway in Northern Kentucky politics. Certainly, if there are discussions about policy-oriented actions that can take place to respond to the way that police are possibly interacting with the Black community or with people in general, what would you want that policy to look like?
Well, people need to run for state legislature if they're in the federal government trying to influence the local police force. Honestly, I think the best police force model are the sheriffs who are elected, and so there's accountability. But what we have now are mayors who typically oversee the police chief. And that's the line of accountability there to the voters. And I think these are state and local issues, and I think that's where they should be handled. I think it's really a failure of our public school system and a misunderstanding of how our government is structured to think that it's the president's job or Congress's job to deal with a protest in a city.
And we're talking with Congressman Thomas Massey. He's a Republican incumbent who faces Northern Kentucky Attorney Todd McMurtry in the June 23rd primary. Congressman, you were trending on Twitter not that long ago. Time does seem to move slowly these days, and it's hard to keep track of when things have happened, but it wasn't that long ago where you caught the ire of President Trump, and the president basically suggested that it was you who was jeopardizing the passage of a $2 trillion stimulus package, which was being created and pushed through to offer some economic relief during the coronavirus pandemic. I just want to ask first, what was that moment like for you as a member of Congress and as an American to be put on blast by the president like that?
Well, it wasn't just a tweet. I also received a personal phone call from the president before I took my stand and demanded that we follow the Constitution and have a quorum present in order to pass a bill. That was on March 27th. I said that if truckers and nurses and grocery store workers must come to work, then Congress should come to work. And CNN probably got the news right that day for once, the most hated man in Washington, D.C. But here's the funny thing, Michael. Here we are about 2 months later, and Republicans who criticized me are back on March 27th are using my talking point. Frankly, I think this is the definition of leadership. When you stand up for what you absolutely know is right, in spite of receiving so much criticism, and then 2 months later, everybody's using your talking points and saying that Congress needs to show up for work and have a quorum if they want to pass a bill. In fact, the House leadership now has initiated a lawsuit against Nancy Pelosi for her proxy voting scheme. They don't maintain necessarily that proxy voting or remote voting is illegal, but they maintain that she's violated the Constitution by allowing for bills to pass without a quorum present. And even the president himself has now demanded that Congress should show up for work, which is frankly all I was doing on March 27th.
And when that happened, your opponent received some support from your fellow Republican members of Congress. And then your campaign came out with some tweets that Todd McMurtry had published before the campaign, were characterized as racist. And some of those fellow Republicans in Congress backtracked and withdrew the funding that they were offering your opponent. I'm wondering, what is your relationship like now with most of the Republican caucus in Congress based on those recent events?
Well, yeah, there were some Republicans who were so upset on March 27th, they leapt into backing my opponent, but they didn't do their research. They didn't know about his checkered social media history or his history of donating to liberal Democrats. And they found out because the New York Times broke the story, and they are the ones who said that his tweets invoked racist tropes. And then it was, in fact, Liz Cheney who said that his tweets were racist and she didn't condone them. So she backed away. By the way, he now has not a single national endorsement from an elected official. And he doesn't have a statewide endorsement. He has nobody in Northern Kentucky who's an elected official endorsing him. He's a pariah now. And my relationship currently is frankly pretty good. You would be surprised at how short the memory is of some of these congressmen when they decide to steal your talking points and start using them themselves. Even Liz Cheney, who was driven to donate to my opponent because she was so mad that I demanded there be a quorum present, has joined a lawsuit against Nancy Pelosi now, demanding that a quorum be present. And so it's hard for them to simultaneously be mad at me, but acknowledge in words and deeds that, in fact, I was the only person who took the right position on March 27th.
We're talking with Congressman Thomas Massey, who represents Kentucky's 4th Congressional District, which includes Northern Kentucky. He's up for re-election this year, faces Northern Kentucky Attorney Todd McMurtry in the Republican primary on June 23rd, and there are a couple of Democrats who are also looking to face off against the winner of the Republican primary in the fall. Your opponent, Todd McMurtry, Congressman, you know, referenced the moniker you've been given, Mr. No. He says that you've not delivered anything for Northern Kentucky. How do you counter that?
Well, he's not been paying much attention, I think. I'm on the chair of the Transportation Committee. I'm not the chair of the Transportation Committee, but I'm on the Transportation Committee. We don't have earmarks. But the one thing that I worked with Chairman Schuster to get is designation of national freight corridors so that when the money does go to the states from the federal government for roads and bridges, I-75 and I-71 are qualified freight corridors and allowed to apply for, and they've already received special grants for those roads. But I think what my opponent fails to understand is how you get legislation passed. The Farm Bill in 2014 had my industrial hemp farming amendment in it, and it has enabled hundreds of farmers. It's created hundreds of jobs in Kentucky because it allowed for hemp to be grown in Kentucky. So there's another example of legislation that I've gotten passed. Today, I am in Congress, not because the House is in session. The House is not in session. The Senate is in session. I'm up here lobbying other senators to join a bill that would provide regulatory relief for farmers and processors that raise livestock so that we don't have shortages in the supermarkets and farmers going broke. I have gained 24 co-sponsors since the infamous day of March 27th, I'm up to 48 co-sponsors on a bill called the Prime Act that would allow consumers to buy food from local farmers. And I've even got seven sponsors in the Senate now. So I would just say that I've been pretty effective up here and still doing that. And in fact, what you're witnessing now is a functional Congress, Congress coming to work and voting because I quoted the Constitution and required them to do that. I changed the course of history on March 27th, and I believe that's leadership.
Well, let me ask you about the dynamic within your primary between you and Todd McMurtry, the Northern Kentucky attorney. It seems, if based on the digital ads that I'm certainly seeing as a Northern Kentucky resident in my social media feeds, you're both competing over who loves Donald Trump more, maybe who loves him less, and you both have examples where you're showcasing this dynamic. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are on why that's important and how you are able to talk to voters about your relationship with the president when we still have that March 27th incident lingering in our memories.
Well, the president's chief of staff, Mark Meadows, is one of my best friends, and I still have conversations with him. I think that's to the benefit of Kentucky. It's not an issue now moving forward, but to your point about who's more Trumpy, my opponent got in this race and decided he couldn't run to the right of me because I have one of the most conservative records in the House of Representatives. He couldn't run to the left of me because Kentucky has closed primaries, so he said he would run to the Trump of me. I'm paraphrasing there. He says he's more Trumpy than me. And the problem with that is his social media history shows a history of Trump derangement syndrome. He was hoping the military would do a coup against Trump after he was elected. And these are serious tweets that he sent and then Facebook posts, and then tried to later delete. He's also got an interesting Twitter history that he's deleted. He's saying that, well, the context was, we're not providing the context for those comments. Yet he's the one who went and deleted all the context. He's virtually eliminated his social media history because of that. And I would just close by saying this, Michael. I don't suffer from either form of Trump derangement syndrome. I say there are two forms. There are the people who think he can do no wrong and that everything he does is right. And then there are the people who think that he can do no right, that everything he does is wrong. I have the most independent voting record here in Congress. My opponent's trying to use that against me, but I don't think people want a rubber stamp.
Congressman Thomas Massey, the incumbent congressman from Kentucky's 4th Congressional District, which includes Northern Kentucky, running for re-election. He faces Todd McMurtry in the June 23rd GOP primary. Congressman, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me on, Michael.
Up next, we talk to Massey's Republican challenger, Northern Kentucky attorney Todd McMurtry. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Mungs. We continue our look at the Democratic and Republican primaries in Kentucky's 4th Congressional District. Todd McMurtry is the attorney challenging Republican incumbent Thomas Massey in the Republican primary. We spoke last week. And joining me now is Northern Kentucky attorney Todd McMurtry. He is a Republican challenger to incumbent Congressman Thomas Massey. Todd McMurtry, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you, Michael. I'm happy to be a part of the show.
And we're glad to have you. I want to know, take us back to the beginning of this, why you decided as a Republican in a pretty solid district that doesn't have a lot of vocal opposition to the incumbent congressman, that you decided to jump into this race.
Well, what I saw in the race is that Congressman Massey, my opponent, really has just not been very effective. And I was aware of his ineffectiveness and the fact that he didn't really get anything done for our district. I was aware that he was, pretty much strongly in opposition to President Trump, who, subsequently, due to Massey's lack of cooperation, said to throw him out of the party. And I was just aware of his voting record, and I don't think that it was a fit for our district, so I thought we needed to have an alternative, and that's why I stepped forward.
What has been the response from Northern Kentucky Republicans? We haven't had a competitive Republican primary for this seat since Thomas Massey's first race back in 2012. What's been the response from other Republican leaders to your candidacy?
Well, I think I have a lot of support. you know, people have told me, they don't come out and endorse necessarily, but they've told me, you know, that they support my race. And I think that there's a desire to have more effective leadership. You know, we have a website that's called MasseyMistakes.com, and anybody that really wants to dig into his record, we've got all of his failings, shortcomings, odd votes, and things like that documented there. So I think just his record is provided a lot of organic ground level support for my campaign.
You said that Thomas Massey hasn't gotten anything done for the district, which is mostly Northern Kentucky, but stretches southwest to Oldham County and then southeast all the way over to Ashland. What should he be doing? What do you see as lacking in the region that you would supplement as a congressman?
Well, he ran on the idea that he was going to help with the Brent Spence Bridge, for example, and he's on the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. But in that role, he's been completely ineffective. He, for example, has never had a bill passed in his name. He's never even gotten a bill out of committee. He's generally, you know, one vote, the one no vote in Congress on so many different things. That's why he's known as Mr. No. Because he is unable, because he votes the way that he does, he has no support in Washington. Most of his fellow representatives would like to see him out of office as well because he's not cooperative in getting anything done, and that translates into nothing happening here. So, you know, what I would do is use my skills as an attorney, which are, you know, to advocate, to negotiate, to mediate solutions to problems, and, you know, I've got a good record as an attorney in getting good results for my client. I would treat the people of this district as my clients, and I would go and use my skill set to make progress on things like the Brent Spence Bridge, on things like the dilapidated I-71 that runs between here and Louisville, and other economic development activities along those lines.
And we're talking with Todd McMurtry. He is an attorney in Northern Kentucky who is challenging incumbent Congressman Thomas Massey in the Republican primary on June 23rd. Todd, your family's relatively well-known across Northern Kentucky circles. You became more well-known as the attorney, one of the attorneys representing Nicholas Sandman, known to our listeners as the Covington Catholic High School student involved in that encounter with a Native American and some of the Black Hebrew Israelites in Washington, D.C. in January of 2019. Did your role in that legal battle, representing that Covington Catholic student, have any impact on your decision to run? Did you learn anything during that period that prompted you to seek a seat in Washington?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I learned the role that the mainstream media plays and how it kind of coordinates its attack and can use people like Nicholas Sandman, you know, to serve their own purposes. A lot of times, in the circumstance of attacking President Trump would be how they use Nicholas Sandman to make that attack. And it kind of opened my eyes to, you know, some of those issues. And I saw that there was a real need to go to Washington to try to, you know, address, you know, those types of problems, such as the mainstream media attack, censorship on social media. I recently started representing Candace Owens because Facebook is censoring her activity. So I saw those problems, and I saw that I could be, you know, even more effective in Washington to address some of those serious concerns. So that's yes, it did partake or play a part in my decision.
You just referenced Candace Owens. She's well known in conservative circles as a commentator on social media. She recently endorsed you. Does an endorsement like that from someone like Candace Owens, who may not be so mainstream, does that move the needle at all in your favor in the 4th District?
I think it does. I mean, she's a hugely popular person and a great advocate for conservative causes. You know, and I think she's just an outspoken, great communicator. And so I think having somebody that dynamic endorse me, you know, at that national level, certainly very, very helpful.
Well, speaking of Twitter, you noted that your opponent, incumbent Congressman Thomas Massey, is taking aim at you in this primary with some advertising. And part of that has been going through some previous tweets that you issued. And when President Trump turned his ire at Thomas Massey for what he perceived as holding up some support for the country during the height of the coronavirus pandemic, these tweets came out And the support that you were getting from some other incumbent Congress people was withdrawn after they saw this. These tweets were characterized as being disparaging towards Mexicans, for example, towards transgendered people, and noted that you decried, quote, the demonization of white people, according to the Jerusalem Post. What is your response to the way people reacted to those tweets that you had sent out?
I think that those remarks are really taken completely out of context, and I just reject those accusations as being unequivocally false. That's really the way the media and the left handle things. An attack like that is just kind of standard course for somebody like the New York Times. We've seen how the media constantly attacks President Trump for being a racist or insensitive or whatever it may be. You know, the sad thing is, in this circumstance, is that here we have a Republican congressman using the tactics of the left. And keep in mind, you know, Congressman Massey is there, you know, photographs of him flying a Confederate flag at his house and other things that he said, for example, in support of Steve King, who recently lost his election. You know, he's a strong supporter of Steve King, who has made some pretty outrageous statements. So the way I look at those attacks is just, you know, being taken out of context, being false, and just part of the left's playbook.
Both you and Congressman Massey appear to be trying to incorporate Donald Trump as much as possible into your campaigns. Who loves him most? Who loves him least? You can obviously point to the tweet that President Trump sent out against Thomas Massey. Thomas Massey is highlighting some things you said about President Trump before he became president. What's the situation here? What is the purpose of trying to show voters in this district who loves the president more?
Well, I think that the purpose is that to be effective in Congress, you need to be supporting the president more than Congressman Massey is. I mean, he's one of the Republicans least likely to support the president. His voting record is strongly in opposition to the president. He voted against the repeal of Obamacare, which included defunding of Planned Parenthood. He voted against the border wall. He's voted against the president's renegotiation of the NAFTA Accord into the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement. He voted against the CARES Act. I mean, he's voted repeatedly against the president, and I think that's important because that leads to his ineffectiveness, and it also leads to him being ostracized from his own party. As for myself, it's easy to take out of context something you said on Facebook 3 and 4 years ago and try to turn that into a weapon, but the fact is that it's my intent to support much more strongly President Trump's agenda than does my opponent.
I want to talk about President Trump in the context of recent events, the civil unrest that has taken place in response to the killing of African Americans at the hands of police. We've seen protests even in northern Kentucky, more largely in Cincinnati and elsewhere, Louisville, Minneapolis, for example, and then the large American cities. How do you characterize the way President Trump is handling the response to what's happening in the nation currently?
Well, first, I just want to say, these are terrible situations. What's happened in Louisville and Minneapolis have just been, you know, really kind of heartbreaking and very, very sad. In my own career, I've done a lot of work for police officers, all over northern Kentucky, representing cities and representing individual police officers. So I know police officers, really well. And so when you think about, you know, the president's response to this situation, he's confronted with an extremely difficult circumstance that I think deserves, more discussion in our society so that hopefully we can continue to improve, these problems that we face so that we solve them. And it's just been, proven to be a difficult problem, but something I think we need to continue to work at.
In our last 45 seconds together, Todd McMurtry, you touched a little bit on this earlier in our conversation. I just want to ask more clearly. Brent Spence Bridge, I can't talk to a Northern Kentucky candidate without bringing it up. Is that a project that should move forward? And if so, how would you fight to fund it?
Well, yes, it is a project that should move forward. It is something that we need. I look out my window every day and I see I-75 backed up. We need to solve that transportation problem. And, you know, there are ways to do it. But what we've seen with Congressman Massey, and again, I'll reference everybody to the website MasseyMistakes.com, is we've seen that the way he's conducted himself in office has proven that he just can't be the person to ever get anything done to solve this significant problem. Whereas if you look at my record, helping people like Nick Sandman, helping people like Candace Owens, representing cities like Park Hills and Ludlow, you know, I can get those things done and I can be effective in Washington. So that's how I would address that issue.
Todd McMurtry is an attorney in Northern Kentucky. He's a Republican candidate for Congress. He faces incumbent Republican Congressman Thomas Massie on June 23rd in the primary. Todd, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Michael. It's been my pleasure to join you.
Up next, a conversation with the two Democrats running in this race, Alexandra Owensby and Shannon Faber. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. The Democratic nominee in Kentucky's 4th Congressional District hasn't prevented the Republican from winning more than 60% of the vote in more than 14 years. Alexandra Owensby and Shannon Faber hope to change that. They face each other in the Democratic primary on June 23rd. We talked with both of them last week. We start now with Shannon Faber. And joining us now is one of the two Democratic candidates for Kentucky's 4th Congressional District, Shannon Faber. Shannon, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
I want to start by asking about what we've seen in recent days here locally, but all across the country, violence erupting, protests breaking out in response to the killings of African Americans at the hands of police officers. What is your response? If you are to become a member of the federal delegation from Kentucky, what is the appropriate response from the federal government to answer these cries for help and to push forward any necessary reforms in policing?
So this is a very loaded question for me emotionally. It's been hard watching, seeing, and trying to just digest all of the emotions that have come along with this. I think that many people know my story, that my family has been very active in the civil rights movement. My father desegregated schools, and just the concept that we are still here so many years later trying to get past this is hard. And I've spoken about equity, in particular racial equity. We need to be moving harder and faster in replacing negative stereotypes with more positive images. And that's the only way that we're going to stop looking at minorities as somebody who are having to continue to fight for our rights. I think that that actually starts with me getting in Congress, which is not at the table, then you're on the table. Have great conversations, and I think at the federal level, this is hard because let's be honest, police forces are community based, and we've seen great police forces who are doing active community based policing, and it's time for everybody, not just the federal government, not just localities, not just minorities, but everybody, to call it out when we see it. And I think that's everyone's responsibility. And my position is to fight injustice, regardless of it's my people being affected by it or my constituents being affected by it. And that's the responsibility we bear as leaders.
Shannon, you said to Julia Fair in the Cincinnati Inquirer that, quote, Congress belongs to the people, and I think we need representation that looks and feels like us. And that sounds a little bit like what you're saying right now here on WVXU. You live in Burlington. That's in Boone County. Not exactly a bastion of diversity. I'm wondering how you take that kind of message to white voters in that almost entirely white county, for example, and ask them to see the value in that proposition.
Well, I'm first asking them to vote for me because I'm the most qualified person. And that has nothing to do with the color of my skin. The second something that I believe everybody can agree on is that if we're going to get through this, we're going to get through it together. And that's with love. And love is always going to trump hate. And that message in itself resonates with people regardless of their color.
And we're talking with Shannon Fabert. She is one of two Democratic candidates. In Kentucky's 4th Congressional District, the primary is June 23rd, in which she faces Dr. Alexandra Owensby of Fort Thomas. Let's talk a little bit about the current pandemic. And as far as the federal government's response to the pandemic, whether it be the financial assistance that was provided or some of the loans that were made available to businesses, what's your assessment of the federal response?
So I believe that the bailout belongs on the kitchen table. And $1,200 to me was a small sum for the individuals who have lost their jobs where there are pauses in rent. And those are pauses. That's not rent forgiveness. And so those bills are going to come due. And I don't believe we provided enough. What we provided is a larger wealth gap when people start having to pay those bills. I would have liked to have seen more money in individuals' pockets because, I mean, even still, we're having to face, I think they showed that we're having to face healthcare, choosing healthcare over buying food or paying rent. And our job is we are beholden to the people. We are not beholden to corporations.
Shannon,
we need to start asking like that.
Would you support more money to individuals and families?
I would.
And how far out do you think that should go? Is this something that should be going on indefinitely, as we've heard some Democrats, some prominent Democrats, and those who associate with Democratic Party suggest?
I don't. Indefinitely is such an abstract term to me from that perspective. I don't think that's something that we should. I think, well, here, we should be looking at what the doctors and what science is telling us. I don't think that it should be indefinite, but I do think there should be more.
And we're talking with Shannon Fabert, a Democratic candidate for Congress in Northern Kentucky. She is in the Democratic primary on June 23rd. The winner of that primary will take on incumbent Republican Congressman Thomas Massey or his Republican challenger, Attorney Todd McMurtry. Shannon, both Todd McMurtry and Thomas Massey appear to be having a battle over who loves President Donald Trump more. The 4th District did vote overwhelmingly for Donald Trump and may be poised to do so again. How will your message, with Democratic principles underlying it, play out in this district as you see your Republican opponents trying to champion a love fest from the president?
So, luckily, I'm not running against the president. I'm running against whomever comes up on the Republican side of that ticket. And, you know, one of those things, one of the reasons why Donald Trump resonated in this district had to do with him wanting to bring people back up and together. And, you know, continuing to push the economy for everybody. And the truth of the matter is I think people have seen whether or not that has worked for them or not. But our job as Congress people is honestly a check and balance of whomever the president is. And I think people are recognizing that. You know, even in 2018, we saw in the midterms where there was backlash against what people thought they voted for in 2016 and what they were actually getting. And I believe that's true here in the 4th as well. And I think the people of the 4th want to see somebody who can actually create the change that they've been asking for, or supporting the change that they've been asking for that just still hasn't happened.
And we're talking with Shannon Fabert, a Democratic candidate for Congress in Kentucky's 4th Congressional District. Shannon, the 4th Congressional District is not just what we typically refer to as Northern Kentucky, Boone, Kent, and Campbell counties. It stretches southwest to Oldham County and southeast to Boyd County. So it's a pretty long region that snakes along with the Ohio River. And there are a lot of different economic statuses across that. And healthcare, of course, is a significant issue at the national level and could possibly be discussed again in the next Congress. What is your assessment of the current national healthcare system, and would you support transitioning to what has been called a Medicare for All program?
So I support a Medicare for all who want it. In particular, in polling throughout the district, as we have talked to people, many people want to keep their private insurance, but they understand that other people need an option. And I will say this, during this pandemic, I think it's become abundantly clear that people need an option that is not tied to their employment. We have over a third of Kentuckians out of jobs right now. That also means they are out of health care. And that people should, again, we'll talk about bankruptcy. People should not have to choose being bankrupt over their health. And that's where I believe for a Medicare option for all who want it.
And Shannon, in our last minute together, I have to ask about the Brent Spence Bridge project, long stalled, long sought. Is this a project that should move forward? And if so, how?
I believe we need a public works program at the federal level. We need a full infrastructure program that would cover the Brent Spence Bridge as well. You know, we've had Republicans in office and nothing has been done about that. The Secretary of the Department of Transportation is also from Kentucky, and yet we still can't get that bridge fixed. It's time that we move past whatever our partisan issues are and honestly focus on safety. That bridge is unsafe, and we absolutely, as a federal government, should be taking care of that. And, you know, how we go about doing that is the tricky part, but it has to be done. And I think that starts with having corporations pay their fair share of taxes to support the utilities that they use.
Shannon Faber is a Democratic candidate for Congress in Kentucky's 4th Congressional District. She faces fellow Democrat Dr. Alexandra Owensby on the June 23rd primary. Shannon, thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me again. It's been a pleasure.
And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monk. Shannon Faber faces Dr. Alexandra Owensby in the Democratic primary. We talked with Dr. Owensby last week. And joining me now is Dr. Alexandra Owensby. She's one of two Democrats running for Congress in Kentucky's 4th Congressional District. The primary in which she faces Shannon Faber is June 23rd. Dr. Owensby, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for taking the time to talk with me today.
It's our pleasure. And I want to start by talking about some of the unrest we've seen in recent days and just give us your assessment of what you think the nation is witnessing right now.
I mean, to be honest with you, I think that the nation is witnessing what is the result of having such polarizing figures that we have right now in power, right? And it's across many different sides of the board. I think that because our politics have become so polarizing, it's feeding into these unrest that's happening. You know, we're not finding that middle ground that we desperately need to come together and make sure that people are being listened to, that concerns are being addressed. And, you know, there's unfortunately just a lack of leadership on so many levels right now across the nation, and we've got to get people elected that can bring the country together and unify us.
So if you were to win the 4th Congressional District, if you were to go to Washington and be a member of the U.S. House of Representatives, what would you see as your role as a House member in addressing some of these deep concerns that you see these protesters feeling?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that you're a voice for the community. I mean, you know, the 4th District is incredibly big. And so one of the things that has really stood out to me as a candidate is the fact that I do have a voice that the average person does not have. And I think that it's important that we use that voice. I mean, one of the things that's been so concerning to me about our current representative is the fact that he's not using his voice to get things done. And, you know, I mean, whenever we looked at with the beginning of the COVID crisis, there's rural hospitals in our district that are shutting down. And, you know, one of the things that we really worked on and focused on was sending out and reaching out to representatives and reaching out to corporations and trying to make sure that the infrastructure was in place to make sure that community was supported. And so, you know, while, yes, with your lawmaking abilities in Congress, you know, maybe you can't influence things as much on a local level, but as a representative and as a member of the House, you can, because you're going to have those connections and you're going to have that voice to represent the people. So you're going to have that voice that you can reach out to police departments and cities and mayors and say, what are we doing to address this? And let's make sure that it does get addressed, because we have got to address these concerns, which are valid concerns, and we have got to bring the nation together so we can move forward as a country.
Dr. Owensby, you're a nurse practitioner in a hospital, and I would like your reaction to the response to COVID-19. What do you think you learned as a healthcare professional about the state of healthcare in America as this pandemic gripped the country?
So I think Governor Beshear did an absolutely phenomenal job. I mean, I don't envy his position with all of this, you know, coming in as a new governor in office and all of this hitting right as it happened. I think he has done a great job of listening to Republican and Democratic concerns and addressing all of them. And so I could not be more impressed with our governor right now. You know, I think that one of the big things that has happened with this virus is that it's really highlighted the disparities with healthcare and the things that we need to get addressed. You know, you have so many people that are unemployed right now. And I mean, I'm not going to lie, hospitals are laying people off too. And so I have been concerned about my job. And of course, one of the biggest concerns about getting laid off in the midst of a pandemic is the loss of healthcare. And how terrible that in the midst of a pandemic, people that are getting laid off, their number one concern is the fact that they wouldn't have health insurance anymore. You know, we see people that are getting intubated and put on ventilators, and the last words they say is, how am I going to pay for this? That should not be a concern on anybody's mind, and we have got to get to a system where healthcare is available, accessible, and affordable to all Americans.
And we're talking with Dr. Alexandra Owensby. She is a Democratic candidate in Kentucky's 4th Congressional District. She faces Shannon Favored in the June 23rd primary. The seat is currently held by Republican incumbent Congressman Thomas Massey, who has a primary of his own against fellow Republican Todd McMurtry on June 23rd. Dr. Owensby, you talked a little bit about people being concerned about how they pay for health care, especially in something unpredictable like this pandemic. How would you characterize the type of system you would envision as suitable for the response? We heard a lot during the Democratic presidential primary about Medicare for all versus expansion of Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act. Which side do you fall on in that?
Unfortunately, our current healthcare system is very taxing on the economy and on the budget, because we're not doing what it takes to keep people out of the hospital. We're very much just putting a bandage on things and moving forward. I think we have got to get to a system more like almost Medicaid for those that want it and have that there. And I think that, you know, one of the interesting things to me was, you know, whenever the school systems had to go to the non-traditional instruction days, we saw that the infrastructure that was in place there couldn't handle this mass influx of students that came on. And I worry the same thing, and I think that that is where it does have to be a little bit of a slow transition to a Medicaid for all or a single-payer system, and the fact that we have got to make sure that it works. You know, I mean, in the school systems, kids struggled with it. The systems were shutting down routinely. And we also saw that with the Affordable Care Act initially too, right, that it wasn't designed to handle as many people that came on. And so I think that we have got to make sure that in the meantime, as people come into that system, that we are able to support them and make sure, because it's a life or death thing if they can't get the care that they need.
One of the other issues that we saw emerge during this pandemic was economic insecurity. And it's not like that was a secret, but it came to roost during the pandemic. And the government answered by sending most individuals a $1,200 check, more if there were families involved. Do you think that was enough? Should more have been done? Should more be done in response from the federal government to offering financial assistance to individual citizens?
I mean, absolutely. Whenever you look at the fact that if you compare what happened in the United States to what happened elsewhere around the world, what we're saying is that people got this check, and in the vast majority of cases, they saved it or something along those lines, because the concern for people isn't, okay, what do I do tomorrow I mean, certainly for some people that's a thing, but it's more of what am I going to do a month from now? Because even if I can get through this week, I don't know that I'm going to have a job anytime in the near future. And I don't know what my income is going to look like. And the same thing for business owners, right? We don't know what the economy is going to look like moving forward. And that makes people so hesitant to spend money. And that worsens the crisis. You know, whenever we look at other countries around the world who had the exact same shutdowns that we have, but have not had the economic failures that we've had, you know, we have to look at, we've got to make sure that people are secure, that not only can they pay their bills this month, but they can continue to pay their bills, because otherwise our economy is not going to recover.
And we're talking with Dr. Alexandra Owensby, a Democratic candidate in Kentucky's 4th Congressional District. She faces fellow Democrat Shannon Fabert in the June 23rd primary. Let's talk a little bit more about issues directly facing Northern Kentucky. We can't talk to federal candidates without bringing up the Brent Spence Bridge. Is that a project that you believe should go forward? How should it go forward?
I mean, the infrastructure in general in our country is unfortunately falling apart at the seams, and we have got to find ways to address that, right? I mean, if we are looking at making sure that the economy recovers, we have to make sure that there is a place for transportation and making sure the roads are in place and the bridges are in place, because that's what connects communities and that's what connects people to their jobs. So it is beyond comprehension to me that our current representative has not addressed this and not fixed this problem. This is essential to the economy of Northern Kentucky. It's essential for jobs in Northern Kentucky. And, you know, if we did go ahead and spend the money to replace it, that would create thousands of jobs. And whenever, especially right now, that people are in such economic hardship, if we could get that project going and moving and work on it, we would help out the economy right there. And so you've got to find a way to pay for it, and you've got to find ways to invest in our infrastructure and our people.
So how do you feel about tolls possibly being used as a finance mechanism for the project?
I'm against tolls. I do think that, you know, we do see a number of businesses and corporations that benefit from the infrastructure in place. And I think that we need to look to them. You know, there's no reason that we have an Amazon headquarters where the, you know, executive is about ready to become, I think, a trillionaire. And they use heavily these roads and these bridges, but they're not contributing back to the infrastructure. And I think that's where we need to look at closing loopholes and taxes and making sure, you know, I mean, it's been brought up to me, these companies do pay their taxes. Unfortunately, the loopholes are in place that they don't have to pay anything. And we need to close those loopholes, and we need to make sure that these companies that are benefiting off of the money of Americans are investing back in our economy as well.
Dr. Alexandra Owensby, Democratic candidate in Kentucky's 4th Congressional District, June 23rd primary. She faces fellow Democrat Shannon Fabert on that date. Dr. Owensby, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you for taking the time. It was a pleasure. I look forward to talking with you again for the general.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer of today's show is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.